Our next speaker is Jeff Kirsch. Jeff's work has appeared in and on Comedy Central, Huffington Post. Is this on? Chicago Tribune, the WGN America Cable TV Network, and Adventure Cyclist Magazine, among others. In 2011, Workman published his first book-length humor piece, Run for Your Life, Apocalypse 2012. Jeff also writes the column Slacktide, which appears every other Sunday in the Juno Empire. Mudrooms is his first attempt at live storytelling. So here we go.
Okay, so yeah, like Elida just said, this is my, be gentle, because this is my first time. Live storytelling, I mean. Although, you know, this does remind me a lot of when I lost my actual virginity, which coincidentally took place in the basement of a church in front of a sold-out audience. Rabbi Gartenberg, you were there, remember? No, I'm just kidding. He wasn't there. anyway, I'm already, like, probably 5 minutes into my 7 minutes. Anyway, so you're probably wondering what's with the guitar. For one, it hides my gut. But more importantly, it's a prop. Actually, it's a really, really cool prop. And when I was in high school, which was in the 90s, we're going to be covering a little bit of the same ground. A lot of friends of mine would use this really cool prop to make out with girls. Now, I'll just show you how this worked. Let me just set the scene for you. We're in a darkened bedroom in the suburbs on Long Island, New York, circa 1991. There's a black light, some black light posters, a case of Molson Ice, wine coolers for the girls, maybe a bottle that we were able to steal from someone's parents' liquor cabinet that they wouldn't notice was missing, like vermouth or something. Midori. Possibly also would be one of those cardboard tubes that you'd have from a paper towel that we would stuff fabric softener sheets into so that when you exhaled, it would cover the smell of smoke. Although, and our parents had to have known something was up when the whole second floor reeked a bounce. I mean, that's not normal. That's not even nearly normal. Anyway, so... Okay, so and my friends would bide their time, you know, until the right moment, which often was when the cassette tape would reach the end of side A, and that would give them the opportunity to bust into something like this. Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Or they'd do this one. Saying I love you, it's not the words I want to hear from you. So you can tell who is alive. All right, extreme, how about it? That was okay, and then what would happen inevitably at that particular point, the girl sitting next to him, whoever it would happen to be, would be, oh, that's so pretty. I wish I could play guitar. Oh, well, you know, maybe I could show you a little bit. Here, take it. Oh, okay. I'll just, you know, put your finger right there. Oh, right here? Yeah, look at that. You know, just strum. How's that? Oh, sounds great. Sounds really good. Now, put down the guitar. Why? It's in the way. Et cetera, et cetera. At this point in time, it bears mentioning that I did not play guitar at that time. No, when I was in high school, I played bass, and sadly enough, but true, girls were not nearly as interested in learning how to play bass. You know, which is not to say that I didn't have my share of amorous interludes or even a few girlfriends along the way, including a 4-foot-10-inch vegan bisexual hippie chick who could hit 85-mile-an-hour fastball. Seriously, it was a huge turn-on. She's like in there with the whole flow, the bunny wings, just crank. Her dad played double-A baseball. Anyway, but that's largely part of the reason why by the time I got to college, I decided I would switch over to comedy. Not that comedy really yielded any more dates either. I mean, you know, no one who gets laid does comedy, and no one who does comedy gets laid. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Although, actually, comedy did, in fact, you know, get me my wife. She was a friend of someone I performed with back in New York City. Notice I didn't say comedy got me laid. It got me married. There is a huge difference between those two things. Huge difference. So, you know, while I quit playing music, I never really stopped loving music. And honestly, I never gave up that desire, that white boy suburban desire to play guitar. You know, and although over time I matured, my tastes matured and encompass everything from jazz fusion to Tuvan throat singing. You know that stuff? It's like, it's really excellent Christmas music, like to Tuvan throat singing, caroling around town. But, you know, there's a hole in my heart that can only be filled by cheesy 90s rock music. It's just, it's true. I mean, honestly, even the, like, top 40 fluff that at the time I wouldn't have listened to with your ears, you know what I mean? Like, I found myself getting down to Vanilla Ice the other day. Wow, I'm really far away. Okay, well, anyway, but then something strange happened to me. 20 years passed somehow. I don't really know how. I just found out about this a couple months ago. Back in New York for Thanksgiving, we're driving on the West Side Highway, listening to the classic rock station. Not modern rock, classic rock, right? And a 20th anniversary special comes on for U2's Achtung Baby, right? And we had just come from my friend's apartment where he was raving about the documentary Pearl Jam 20, which was all about the 20th anniversary of Pearl Jam's debut album, which, if you're not familiar with, kind of introduced and changed the face of rock forever by introducing the, like, walks your heart. We will never get rid of that in rock music. Thank you, Eddie Vedder. And I thought, no, that can't be right. I mean, it's been really 2 decades. I mean, it seems like just yesterday since Jeremy spoke in Glastonbury. And that Achtung Baby is like a college sophomore now, right? But I did the math. So thank you, joke bomb. 2012 minus 20. Yeah, it comes out to 1992. It works out. Buzzkill. You know, the whole thing kind of reminds me of a quote from The Simpsons, which in and of itself dates me as a relic from the 90s, in which Grandpa Simpson warns Homer, who was on tour with Lollapalooza, "I used to be it, but then they changed what it was, and now it seems scary and strange to me, and one day it will happen to you." Well, and it really wanted to happen to me, so I got in touch with some 15-year-old cousins that I had. I was like, send me your music. I need to listen to it. I'm down. I want to listen to whatever you're listening to, right? So what do? They direct me to some, like, pirate seeding file sharing protocol deal that I don't know how to figure out. And I'm just not ready to be that geezer who calls up a kid to ask him to walk through computer glitches, you know? But nonetheless, here I stand at the cusp of geezerhood. And, you know, once again, I'm outdated. But there's a big difference this time. And I'm going to wrap it up. And we're going to the intermission next. And it's worth it. So, what was I saying? See, that's what happens when you add. The thing is that geezerhood, thank you, is the 20 years, right? So I'm 35 now. I'm not 15. You know, I'm no longer formative. I'm, you know, pretty much well-formed. And quite honestly, that's part of what getting old is. I mean, you lose touch, maybe, with contemporary popular culture. But at least in my case, you know, you get more in touch with yourself. And if that's what it's going to be, then yeah, I'd rather be outdated than outdated. But credit where credit is due, there's one person who definitely helped me, you know, come to terms with both of these things, and that's my wife. For one, I'm married, so I don't really expect to date very much now. And the other, my wife is the one who gave me this guitar, actually. And, you know, she inspires me to want to play and learn new songs and keep getting better. And not because I think that it'll make her want to get with me, which really only happens when I swap out the snow tires, but because she loves cheesy 90s music as much as I do, if not more, and we make a hell of a duet. So when I call, if you see a faded sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to the, she'll respond, love shake! And there's more. And you know, if I do, 'Cause I'm a cowboy. On a steel horse I ride, and I'm wanted. She goes, wanted. And then both of us together will go, dead or alive. And when I do, just a little patience, she will start singing over the top of it. I've been walking the streets at night, just trying to get it right, but I just can't see with so many around, and no, I can't stand being stuck in the ground, but the streets don't change, but maybe the names. I ain't got time for the pain, 'cause I need you. Yeah, I need you. Man, we are gonna embarrass our kids so much. Good. Serves them right. Thank you.